ELC Radio. Indomitable City, Indomitable Team, Indomitable Church. Saturday, June 1st, 8 p.m., Papa Murphy's Park at Cal Expo. Get ready. San Antonio FC versus our Sacramento Republic FC. Elevate Life Church. Are you ready?
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
So Matthew 18, are you there? I'm going to read it to you here in the Passion Translation, right here, the TPT, not to be confused with any other initials. It means the Passion Translation. And it says this: at that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, who is considered to be the greatest in heaven's kingdom realm? And Jesus called a little one to his side, and he said to them, learn this well, unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the word of God, and Lord, I thank you for the kingdom of God, which means that, you know, it's your system of doing things in the earth realm. And Father, as we teach today, we ask that your anointing would be here, that the spirit of revelation would open the eyes and the hearts of your people, Lord God. It's not something that we can mainly grasp with our understanding, Father. It has to be illuminated into our spirit. And I pray, Father God, that the lights would go on, so to speak, and people would understand what it is they need to be able to understand your ways. Because your ways, Lord, are higher than our ways. We open up our heart. We ask for the anointing to preach and pull down strongholds. And we ask that you would move in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we've been talking about this series, The Child Within. And we did a little skit last week. How many of you guys enjoyed the drama by our amazing, amazing drama and arts team? Praise God. That was a weak clap, but that's okay. They know you enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. But we were trying to really illustrate the fact of how important it is to understand what Jesus is talking about. We spent the last few weeks kind of unpacking it a little bit and kind of breaking it down because it can be confusing what Jesus is asking of us. And he's talking about the kingdom of God. And if you don't learn anything else, you've got to understand that when you read about the kingdom of God, what it means, it's talking about God's way of doing things. Amen? The kingdom is God's way of doing things. I know when we think of kingdom, we think of this cloud city up in heaven with streets of gold and pearly gates. And when you read the Bible, you think of, oh, that's the kingdom. But remember, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. So if it's within you, he's not talking about that over there. Can I get an amen on that? All right. If it's within you, you've got to understand what he's talking about. So when he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like, he's basically telling you, this is how the kingdom works. These are the ways of the kingdom. Amen? And so it's the same way when he talks about the world. He's not talking about the globe or the planet. He's talking about the world system. That's why he says statements like this: you cannot love the world and inherit the kingdom of God. He's not saying you can't love the people of the world. He's saying you can't love the system of the world. So when you see the kingdom, he's talking about the system of heaven, or I like to say it like this, how heaven works. And so when he's describing, when they're asking, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's the greatest in God's eyes? How does the kingdom work? And then he breaks it down and he says this: unless you dramatically change your way of thinking, not casually change, dramatically change. And I just pause for dramatic effect. It's not a casual change. Last Sunday, we had the largest crowd here. We were close to 300 people. But you know what a lot of them wanted? A casual change. Never get the kingdom of God. They want fire insurance. You know what fire insurance is? Tell me how I don't go to hell. Oh, say a prayer, ask Jesus into my life, I'm there. Boom. It's kind of like what Jesus had when he had the multitude following him, when he was handing out loaves and fishes. Come on. Two-piece dinners every Sunday. He's handing that out. You know how big a crowd we could get if every Sunday we fed everybody lunch? Some of y'all are like, ooh, that'd be good, Pastor. We need to do that. Then you need to write a check. Come on, somebody. You know the crowd you can have when you're giving things away. And, you know, I was looking at all my friends' Easter stuff, and, you know, guys were giving, churches were giving stuff away. And, you know, even us out there in the park, we're giving things away. But listen, that's not the kingdom. That's not the kingdom. Because, you know, if you want a casual change, you're not going to make it. Jesus said, unless you dramatically change. Dramatically. You know what that means? You're going to have to put some effort in it, baby. You have to get up early on a Sunday. You have to come to church. Amen? You're going to have to go to Propel on a Friday night. Ooh, but Pastor, that's Friday night. That's when I go out. That's when I get my drink on. That's when I do this. You're going to have to dramatically do some stuff. You're going to have to join Kingsmen. You have to come out there with all these dudes. Man, I don't know these dudes, Pastor. I don't know anybody in that. I'm all uncomfortable. You're going to have to do some dramatic stuff to change your thinking. Are you with me? Amen. So he says, you got to dramatically change. Casual change ain't going to happen. That's why there's a lot of people in churches today. They go to church, nothing's different. Their marriage is still whack. Their kids are still whack. Their job is still whack. Their life is wickety, wickety whack. But they go to church and they call themselves a Christian. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It's because you can't get the kingdom the way God does things with a casual change. You got to get drastic with it. So unless you drastically change your way of thinking, here it is, and become teachable. And become teachable. And become teachable. Man, this is a revelation you got to get, because you know what? None of us here like to be told anything. That's why you hate your job. It's not that your boss is a jerk. It's just that anytime he tells you something, you take it wrong. And he hits this little thing in you that says, I don't like nobody telling me nothing. Come on. Amen. Can I say we're all like that? Do you see how I put myself in that? We're all like that. It's human nature. It's the fleshly nature to not like to be told anything. Right? Come on. We see it in our departments here. You're good to usher until the usher comes and says, no, don't do it like this. Do it like this. Then you got to go, well, why can't I do it like that? No, because, you know, we do it like this. This is the system of how we do it. Yeah, but I could do the same thing this way. It don't make no sense. Why can't I do it like that? See, all that is you basically saying, I don't like people telling me anything. And guess what? We're all like that. We're all like that. But this is where Jesus says, you got to dramatically change. Amen? Do you know you got to dramatically change when you get married? Some of y'all didn't know that. Dramatically change. Dramatically change. And if you ain't ready for that change, don't get married. Guys, single life ain't that bad. Let me say that again. That's not for me. That's for somebody here. single life isn't as bad as you're making it out to be. So that's for somebody in this place. They'll maybe call you out, prophesy over you. See, I just can't wait to get married. Why? You're going to have to change a lot, everything, dramatically. I'm not a morning person. Got to change that. I just don't like no one talking to me when I'm tired. You're going to have to change that. I can't stand somebody chewing their food all crazy. Going to have to change that if you're marrying a man. Because men don't eat no other way. Until a woman teaches us to. Oh, come on. It's kind of true, fellas. It's kind of true. We're going to have to dramatically change. Amen? Young people, you got to dramatically change. You're going to college. College ain't like high school. It ain't like high school at all. Because you know what? At college, they don't care if you don't do your work. Just write the check. Oh, you want to drop? Go ahead. We're keeping the check, though. Oh, you don't want to learn anything? That's fine. Just write the check. College is way different. Got to dramatically change. Are you seeing the pattern? Everything in life, you got to dramatically change. You want a better job, huh? Than the job you got right now? You're going to have to dramatically change. Because better jobs don't put up with poor work. They don't. Working at McDonald's is different than working at Ruth's Chris. Because you can't show, anybody here been to Ruth's Chris? Let me tell you about Ruth's Chris. Ruth's Chris, you can't come in there with an attitude. You can't serve steak on platters with an attitude, chomping gum. You could do that at McDonald's. So if you want to go to another level, you got to dramatically change. The kingdom of God is another level. It's another level. Learning how heaven does things, it's another level. So we've got to pursue dramatic change. And part of that is learning how to be teachable. We've got to remove the orphan spirit from our lives. We've talked about the orphan spirit at this church before. An orphan doesn't know how to receive instruction. And when before we come to Christ, listen, we're all orphans in the spirit. But the great thing about the gospel is it's basically the story of a loving father coming up and devising a plan to save his children and restore relationship with lost children. That's what this thing is. And when you've been living without a father, when you've been living without Father God, we develop mentalities that don't come from Father God. They come from the earth realm. And one of the mentalities is an orphan spirit. And an orphan spirit is somebody that doesn't like anybody telling us what to do. And we all have it until we go through some dramatic change. I was the same way. I didn't like no one telling me what to do. Man, most of the problems I had with my parents as a teenager was based on that. It wasn't that they were wrong, they were right. I just didn't like nobody telling me what to do. But guess what? When Jesus got a hold of my life, I had to dramatically change. And I had to go to a church. And I had to submit to a pastor. And I had to learn new ways of thinking. And I had to be discipled. Did you know what discipleship is? Somebody teaching you. Do you know what people don't like? Discipleship. Oh, we'll go to church all day. We'll come to church every week. Sign up for a discipleship group. Nah, I'm cool. Why? Because we don't want to be teachable. We don't want no one telling us anything. But you got to change that. Amen? Because unless you're being taught, you'll never learn how heaven works. Now, why do we need to learn how heaven works? Because what is the prayer that you all prayed growing up? The Lord's Prayer. Right? How many of y'all know the Lord's Prayer? How many don't? We got a few heathens in the house. Amen. Listen, even if you was heathen, you knew the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Didn't Tupac put that in a song? Come on, somebody. Some of you going, oh yeah, I remember now. Now listen, what did he pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, your system come down and bring what's in heaven on the earth. Amen. Have you ever took time to read about heaven in the scriptures? There's no poverty in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. We're, all we have to do is access it.
That's right.
How do we access it? Through learning how heaven works. But we got to be teachable. Because heaven don't work like here. You can't get God's blessing operating in worldly ways.
That's right.
Like some of y'all want to, you want a godly husband. You want a godly husband. But you ain't doing it right. Because you got to learn the kingdom way to get a husband. And it's very different than the world's way. The world's way, you're going to have to give up the goodies to keep a man. Am I getting too real on a Sunday morning? Come on, y'all talk worse than that. Y'all use the actual language. Oh, I got real quiet in this Baptist church. Listen, the ways of the king are different. We got to learn them. We got to be teachable. We got to embrace them. We got to understand that we've got to approach the kingdom as a child, which means this, ready to learn, with wide-eyed wonder, with less skepticism about God and more trust. Can I get an amen on that? That's what we've been spending this whole month talking about, getting you back to connecting with understanding of childlike faith and how important it is that we become people of humility and teachableness to be great in the kingdom of God. And why is this so important? Because the world operates the opposite. They tell you not to be humble. They want you to be proud. They want you to be arrogant. They think that's how you get through things. No, not in the kingdom of God. The world elevates the attitude of nobody gonna tell me nothing. That's not what God elevates. God elevates teachableness. Pursuing correction, pursuing instruction. Tell me how to live different, you know? And Jesus is saying here in the scripture, be teachable and be humble. We've got to be those things. We've got to understand that. But let's take it a step further as we close this series out here. Look at Mark 19, verse 13 through 22. This is another account. It says this, and then they brought little children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and don't forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Here he goes again. Guys, quit stopping those kids from coming to me. Now, why do you think the disciples were keeping those children away? Do you think it's because they hated kids? Nah. Maybe one or two of them did, amen? They were rough guys, let me just tell you. But that wasn't why. It wasn't why because they just can't stand kids. Get all these kids out of here, these little mocosos. Get them out of here. It wasn't that. I believe their hearts were in the right place. But see, Jesus takes this and uses it as a teaching moment. He says, don't keep these kids from coming at me. This is how you've got to pursue the kingdom. Just like these kids. You know what these kids were doing? Pursuing Jesus with no fear. Going after God with no hindrance. And isn't it like religion to always put roadblocks in our way from getting to Jesus? This is what denominations many times do. This is what church many times has done. People want Christ. They want to come to him. They want to receive the gospel. But then they go to a church where you can't wear tennis shoes on the platform. You got to wear a suit. You can't go to a church because you're not married to the person you're living with. You can't go to this church because, well, you just ain't the right amount of right. Come on, somebody. How many know what I'm talking about? That's the same thing as what the disciples are doing right here. Like, hey, you can't just run to Jesus. Jesus says, no. This is how the kingdom works. So many people say, well, I'm going to come to church, but I'm working some stuff out. No, the kingdom works. You just come to Christ. Yeah, but I got stuff in my life I got to work out. Come to him and then he'll help you work it out. I had a cousin one time. I'm telling him, man, you got to give your life to Jesus. I will, but I got to stop drinking first. You know, people say all the time, that's like cleaning up before you take a shower. Don't make no sense. It's what the shower's for. Just come to Christ as a child. Just come. But isn't it like religion to put up all these things to keep you from Jesus? Amen? That's part of why we're the kind of church that we are. You come as you are. You want to wear a suit? Wear a suit. You want to wear a tie? Wear a tie. You want to dress up? Dress up. If you don't, that's fine too. You want to come in your Jordans. You want to come in your red Adidas outfit here. Just don't be throwing up gang signs. You know, you could do that. You want to come in sagging? That's okay. You want to come in however you want to come in? Come in. You want to come in carrying baggage? You want to come in even though everything ain't all the way right? Come on in. Everybody's welcome. Amen. That's how the kingdom works. That's how the kingdom works. But when you come into the kingdom, you're going to find out Jesus loves you so much. He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And it's not a change you to make you good enough. You're already good enough. It's a change to help you have a better life. Amen? Amen. You don't go to a doctor sick and he comes in and just goes, man, I really like you, so you can just leave. I'm sick, doctor. I know, but man, I really like you. And that's good enough. The doctor goes, let me help fix what is wrong with you. Amen? And he gives you instructions. And he'll give you nasty medicine. Anybody here ever took nasty medicine? Nasty medicine. Every time you got to take, sometimes the word is like that. You ever had to go to get a shot? It ain't no fun, right? Still not fun. I don't care how grown you are. It's just not fun to get a needle shoved in your arm or get some kind of treatment done. But we get that done because the doctor understands his role. You came here sick. I'm going to fix you. But the responsibility of us in that equation is to what? Do what the physician says. Are you guys tracking with me? But it's not to put a roadblock like these disciples were doing. They were blocking people from coming into the presence of God. Anyone can come. That's what Jesus is talking about. The kingdom is open to anybody. Now put that scripture back on the screen there. It says this, and he took them in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. And now as he was going out on the road, one came running to him, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered him and said, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked at the faces of the disciples and said, how hard is it for the wealthy to enter in, I'm going to read it to you, this portion right here in the Passion Translation here. How hard is it for the wealthy to enter into God's kingdom realm? And the disciples were startled when they heard this. But Jesus again said to them, children, it is next to impossible for those who trust in riches to find their way into God's kingdom realm. So God kicks it up another notch. He's talking about the kingdom. You got to come in as a child. And then after he has this ordeal where he's praying for the kids, the Bible talks about the rich young ruler. He's walking down the street and it's described he's a rich young ruler. Two things you got to know about this guy. He's rich and he's young. He's rich and he's young. And he poses a question to Jesus. He says, Jesus, how can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you got to keep the commandments. And his response to Jesus is this, well, I've been doing that my whole life. And that's when Jesus goes, oh, have you? Oh, have you? And Jesus pulls something out of his pocket and he says, okay, then do this. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, this story is an interesting story. It can be translated in a lot of ways, but I want to break this down to you from a kingdom perspective of what's really going on here. Jesus wasn't just advocating being nice to poor people. He was exposing something in this rich young man's heart. He was exposing greed. He was exposing pride. Now, we need to catch this today, because this morning, you know, we've got to be very careful as followers of Jesus Christ that we don't become proud in our works. We don't become proud and start seeing ourselves in a light where, you know, people that don't go to church begin to look at us, or we begin to look down on people in the community that don't know Christ. Because that's what this guy was basically doing. Jesus was telling him, hey, you know, if you're going to get the kingdom realm, you're going to have to do all this stuff. And the guy says, well, I've been following the law all my life. And Jesus pulls out this card. Oh, really? Have you? And Jesus says, well, you haven't been doing this. Sell everything and give to the poor. You know what Jesus was trying to teach this guy? There's nothing you can do to get the kingdom. Nothing you can do. Because there's no way you can do everything that is in the Word of God. Can I get a good strong amen on that from some real folk? From some real folk in here. Can you give me an amen on that? Because no matter how good of a person you are, when you read the law, there are things that just ain't going to happen, baby. Amen? It's not going to happen. Did you know the Old Testament law was basically set up to show you can't do it? But the pride of man couldn't receive that. So in man's arrogancy, he tries to fulfill it. So Jesus points back to him. He says, hey, you're not doing all the law. You got greed in your heart. And the Bible says that young man walked away sad that day. Why? Because Jesus had just exposed what was in his heart. And why did Jesus do that? Well, he goes on to say, guys, there's no way to get the kingdom. It's impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. Aren't you guys thankful for that? With people, it's impossible. You're never going to earn your way into God's way of doing things. Some of you might be trying. That's why you come to church. That's why you serve. Maybe if I do all this stuff, God will bless me. God will bless me. Can I tell you something? You're already blessed. You're blessed. You know what kind of church we want to be? You know what kind of disciples we want to raise up? We do things for God because he's already blessed us. We don't do things to get a blessing. We got a blessing, so therefore we do things for God. It's as if somebody came up to you and said, hey, here you go, man. Here's a $1 million check. Would you just take that check and never see that dude again? If you would, you're very wicked. But I know what I would do. I'd make sure I made that man's life very good from that day forward because of how good he was to me. How many understand that? That's the way that sons relate to a father. And we've got to learn this as children of God. You got to learn that you don't earn your blessings. Now, don't get me twisted. There is sowing and reaping. There is obedience that unlocks blessing. But what is our fuel to obey? It's always got to be the goodness of God. As we talk about the kingdom, you got to understand, baby, you can't get it on your own. He gives it to you. And we learn how to manage it by learning his ways. And you can't manage it if you don't learn to be teachable. You can't manage it if you don't put down that pride. Because when you start following God, you know what you're going to start finding out? You do a lot of things wrong. That's what you're going to start finding out. And proud people hate to be told they're wrong. They hate it. They'd rather live wrong than be told they're wrong. They'd rather live with the pain and error of their ways than sit in front of somebody and admit you are wrong. Can I tell you what will set you free and change your life forever? Learning to say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Yeah. Try it. On the count of three, say it. I'm wrong, I'm sorry. One, on the count of three, y'all, slow down. See, you're wrong right there. That's right. 1, 2, 3. I heard some ouches in this area over here. Somebody over here said, I'm wrong. Man, you learn that. You start learning that, life gets so good. You know how many people you can let out of prison by telling them you're sorry? Dads, you know how many lives have been ruined because you can't apologize to your kids? You know how powerful an I'm sorry is? I was wrong. You know, people are walking this earth, medicating, smoking weed, drinking, because they carry the pain that could be healed through those words. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Try it. I dare you. I dare you. You know what happened? Change your life. And you know what's cool about those words? Whenever you speak them, it brings humility into the room. You know what attracts God to your life? Humility. Jesus said, I'll love you, I'll never forsake you. But you know, there's one thing in the book of James that he says he has to do. He has to resist you when you're proud. He says, I resist the proud. Think about that word resist. He has to resist you when you're proud. But grace comes to the humble. What is grace? God's divine enablement. It's God's unmerited favor. Grace is the ability to do anything, go anywhere. Man, we have got to learn those two phrases. I'm sorry and I was wrong. You know what's even better is learning to be, part of being teachable is understanding this. You don't know it all. You don't know it all. We've got to learn not to trust in our faith. We've got to learn to trust people around us. Husbands, you got to learn to trust your wife. Not argue with her, trust her. Amen? Amen? Amen. Wives, got to learn to trust your husband. Got to learn. You got to trust him. They don't see, they see things you don't see. Amen? They see things that you don't see. And you need their perspective. I tell you what, Dom, I'm excited about this next series next month. We're going to talk about made in his image. And we're going to take some time. And we do this every year, and I'm going to continue to do it. We're going to talk about the identity of women. Women, you got to know how incredible you are. And men, you better know how incredible a woman is before you decide to put a ring on one. Before you call her wife, you better know what you got. You better know what you got, or it'll make your life miserable. If you don't know how, you don't know what you got, it'll make your life a living hell. Don't say amen over there. I heard you. But once you know what you got, and here's the thing, women, if you know how awesome you were, you wouldn't do some of the things you do. Amen? We got to get some new models in America today. Cardi B ain't your model. She funny, right? Some of y'all don't want to admit she's funny. Who? Cardi B? I never heard of her. Whatever. You got her album in the car out there. We need some new models. Women need to know how awesome they are. I say it all the time. Women are the first answer to a problem in the perfect world. The world was perfect, and God says, nah, it's not good enough. Give me a woman. And he creates Eve. A perfect world needed a woman. I should have got more amens. A perfect world wasn't good enough until a woman stepped in that mug. Y'all don't miss that one. Don't miss next month. I'm just telling you right now, we'll get you up out of your ratchetness. Bring your ratchet friends. Come on. You run into somebody ratchet in Walmart, say, oh, you need to come to my church Sunday. God's gonna help you. Listen, because once you understand identity, y'all, once you understand identity, everything changes. Because the world wants you to think you're less than. And guys, man, we've got to learn how incredible a woman is. When you don't know what something is for, you abuse it. When you don't know what something is for, you abuse it. You ever see a baby pick up something and they don't know what it's for? A baby will take a fork and stick it in an outlet in the wall. Is that what a fork's for? No. But you know, that's what some men do with a woman. Abuse her. Talk down to her. Tell her to be quiet. Get real quiet in here. We're going to help you. That's next month, though. Where was I? Somebody need to hear this. So we've got to understand. We've got to understand some things here. Okay? We've got to understand how awesome the kingdom is and how much we need God. The kingdom is impossible alone as a man on your own to understand. Okay? It's impossible. But with God, He gives us access to His way of doing things. But if you're going to receive it, you got to humble yourself. You got to be teachable. Okay, let me give you a few other things, and I want to tie this up here. So we've got to be like a child. We've got to be like God's child. How are children? We've said it all this month. Children trust easy. You ever notice that? Children will trust easy. That's why you got to be careful when you tell them, Mijo, I'm going to pick you up, and we're going to go get ice cream. And then your butt doesn't show up. It always amazes me. I hear those stories all the time. And I'm like, why do people still do that? Y'all don't watch movies? That's in every movie, the thing not to do as a man, right? Every movie talks about that. There's a little kid. He's waiting at the window for his dad. Dad never shows up. We still got men in 2019 that still do that. Can I just tell the men something? Don't do that. Because it damages the ability for children to trust adults. You say you're going to do something, do it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's why when you tell your kids something, they never let it go. Don't mess up and tell them you're taking them to Disneyland. And then don't take them. You never live it down. But Dad, you said you were going to take them to Disney, and then you get mad at them. Be quiet. No, you said that. Amen? And if you got a spouse that likes to do that, keep them accountable. No, you said you're taking them, take them. Amen? Because children have that childlike trust. We lose that as adults because of what life does to us. Now, here's the other thing. We talked about saying sorry. If you've done that to your kids, you can let them out of their anger and their bitterness by saying something. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I was selfish. Somebody needs to hear that today. It's so important that we protect trust in children. And it's so important that if we've had it damaged in our lives, we get it back. We've got to get that ability to trust like a child. Amen? Amen. That's why as adults, you got to be careful what you're telling your kids. They trust you. Amen? And then even in the church, when I think about it, all these years I've been in ministry now, there's good pastoring and there's bad pastoring. There's good preaching and there's bad preaching. The same way there's good parenting and bad parenting. How many know there's good parenting? How many know there's bad parenting? How many of us know that all too well? Okay? There's a problem and there's a difference. Some of us were raised around bad parenting. Bad parenting puts things in your heart and in your belief system that will affect you the rest of your life. Amen? And sometimes it comes from a good place, but it's not right. And what causes us many times to not trust the Lord is we've been pastored in wrong ways. We've been preached to with some bad preaching. We've basically been parented with bad parenting. I see some of you looking at me like, well, what's bad parenting? I'm going to say this and you might go, oh, okay. Well, man, I've done some bad parenting. It's okay. Amen. We all make mistakes. But, you know, bad parenting is when you manipulate. Bad parenting is when you use fear to control. Amen? And a lot of times, parents will do that. But you know what? Preachers do that sometimes too. And when we do that, we undermine the goodness of God. So there's bad preaching and there's good preaching, just like there's bad parenting and there's good parenting. I remember I had a friend that every time we would go out, His mother would tell him things and like scare him if he didn't do it. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't raise your hand if you had a mother like this, but you'll relate to this. So I'd go over to his house and his mom would say, Mijo, put on a jacket. And he'd say, no, mom, I'm cool. No, put on a jacket because you're going to get a cold and you're going to die. What kind of cold is that, you know? But I kid you not, she would say stuff like that. Now, I mean, I'll put on, you better put it on. You're going to get a cold and die. So he put on his jacket, you know. You know what that does? That puts such fear in a child. Or how about the mom? Oh, I'm gonna come home right now. How about the mom that says, mijo, you better go to bed. Or if you don't go to bed, I'm going to let the La Llorona come in your room. She comes by here every night, and I tell her, get away. But tonight, I'm going to let her come in there. She might bring the cucuy, too, you know? Some of y'all have moms like that, huh? Or no, some of y'all were moms like that, huh? Or some of y'all are moms. No, okay. But see, that's bad parenting. That's trying to get a child to do something using fear. Did you know preachers sometimes do the same thing? Many times preachers get, you don't want to act like that, you're going to go to hell. Don't listen to that music because you're going to go to hell. Don't do that because you're going to go to hell. And you know what all that kind of stuff does? It takes away our trust and our loving God. Listen, there's nothing you can do that can separate you from the love of God. And if you were raised under controlling preaching or parenting, you got to understand, God don't play like that. He loves you no matter what. And why is that important? The reason that's important, so that you could stop trying to earn his love. Walk in it, rest in it, accept it. It ain't going nowhere. If you left here today and never came back to church, his love for you would not change. If you never did another thing for him, it would not change. Listen, these 17 people aren't going on a missions trip to get closer to God, to get more of God. No, they already got God. Therefore, we're going to do his will to show our appreciation. And that's what Jesus was trying to nail with this guy when he's talking about the kingdom. He's saying, no, you can't fulfill the law. So I come, I fulfill it for you. And now I give it to you. But in order to get it, you got to trust that what I'm saying is true. You got to be like a child. And when I say I give you access to the kingdom of God, you got access. Yeah, but I still have a little bit of a drinking problem. You got to deal with that, but you still got access. Yeah, but you know, I got this addiction that I'm working on. You got to deal with that to get a better life, but Jesus still loves you through it. He still loves you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen? Now, that's not a license to stay the same, no. But you better know the way you live is not from a place of trying to get something from God. He loves you. The way I live now is in response to his goodness. Man, when he saved me, I was so happy. I was so blessed. I said, what can I do for you? That's the proper response. I get to go to heaven with all the junk I did for 19 years. The rebellious attitudes, the things I did, and now I get to get off scot-free? What can I do for you, God? Oh, tithe? No worries, no problem. Serve in church? No problem. Tell others about you? No problem. That's the proper response. That's the kingdom of God. But you know what we have in America today? People that don't want to do nothing for the Lord. And you know what that is? That's because they don't understand, like a child, how good he is. They don't trust how his word. His word says, I give you the kingdom. His word says you're blessed and not cursed. We sung about it today. You're the head and not the tail. You don't got to earn this thing. Just walk in it. We don't do this stuff to get a blessing. We got a blessing, so therefore we respond through obedience. We say it all the time. To love Jesus, his love language is obedience. My responsibility now is to love God. And my love for him is lived out when I say, God, what do you want me to do? When I read the word and he tells me how to live and I apply it, that's how I show love. Guys, rest easy in the love of God. Isn't that what a child does? Another thing a child does is they forgive easy. Isn't it amazing how fast a child will forgive you? I remember, man, when I would do something, you know, nothing, you know, drastic, but, you know, I had to say to my kids, man, I'm sorry, when they were real little, you know,
I'd have to say, man, I'm sorry I did that, Mija. And she, oh, it's okay, Daddy. It's okay. Ah, oh, would just right in my heart. How many parents have ever felt that before? You ever made a mistake and you apologize to your kids? Oh, it's okay, Daddy. Don't worry about it. And they're ready to just move past it. Man, it does something to you. Any parents ever felt that, or are y'all perfect parents? Because when I've messed up and I've done that to them and they say, "It's don't worry about it, Dad." Man, that is one of the best feelings. Well, that is what the kingdom is like. Forgive fast. Trust easy. And you'll receive the kingdom of heaven. Read the Bible. If it says it, believe it. When people hurt you, people do what's wrong to you, people make mistakes, forgive them. For that is what Jesus is talking about when he says, if you're going to come in the kingdom, you got to be like a child. We got to get back to that, because some of us, it takes you too dang long to forgive. And then even what you call forgiveness ain't forgiveness, because you'll bring it up later in an argument. Come on, husbands, wives. Oh, it's okay, baby, it's all done. 2 weeks go by, you do something wrong. Yeah, but what about that time? Baby, I thought you forgave me. I did. Well, why are you bringing it up right now? Obviously, you didn't. Exactly. In the kingdom, y'all, we've got to forgive fast. We've got to become like a child. Let's all stand to our feet. The kingdom is simple when you truly understand what God is asking for here. Kingdom doesn't need to be earned. Salvation isn't earned. It's received. Some people don't receive it because they can't grasp it. Some people, they know about Jesus, but they don't get this church thing. They don't get how that can be and this can be. That's because in order to have faith, you just got to believe as a child. I've been saying it all month. It's like when, you know, you tell your kid there's a Santa and they believe you. When they tell them there's an Easter bunny and they believe you. When you tell them, you know, these things and they watch these things on TV, you know, they believe it. When you read your Bible, believe it. If God said it, believe it. You're the head and not the tail. You can move mountains. Believe it. You can lay hands on the sick. Believe it. You can raise the dead. Believe it. That's what a child does. Amen? Basically, it comes down to this. A child believes with their heart. An adult believes with their head. You know what an adult needs to believe something? An adult needs evidence. Adult needs physical evidence, not a child. If you're going to receive these things from the Lord, you've got to learn how to believe with your heart. That's what Mark 11, 23, 24 says. If you believe in your heart, you can move mountains. As we close today, I just got to ask you, what is it that you believe in your heart? Those are the things that are going to come alive in your life. Questions are not bad. It's good to have questions, but don't base your faith on your questions. Base your faith on His Word. There's things in the Word that I haven't seen manifest in my life yet, but I still believe it. I've never seen the dead raised in my ministry, but I believe God can do it. Why? Because it's a heart belief. Listen, I prayed for some dead folk. They didn't get up. I still believe what God's word says. My faith is based in His word. The same way a child believes what his father or his mother tell him. Guys, that's what it's going to take if you're going to make it. Let me pray for you as we close. Bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I just thank you for every person that is here today. Maybe they're struggling in their faith. Maybe they have all these questions and they're asking you to meet all the requirements of their mental capacity and the things that they wonder about and their need for facts. Lord, I believe you do that through time. But you instruct us and say, if you're going to come into the kingdom, you got to first believe and be like a child. Father, I pray today as I speak to the hearts of men and women here that they would just simply believe your word every day when they read it and it talks about who they are, what they have. Let that word get in their heart. Let them learn to live by their position in you and not their condition in this world. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you're at a place right now where you're just wrestling with your faith. You're in a place where you're struggling to continue to believe in this walk, believe in God, believe in the things he's called you to do. I just want to pray with you today if you're here like that. And maybe you're here today and you don't even know if you have a relationship with God. You don't know if he'd accept you. Let me tell you, his word says all you've got to do is ask and he'll come into your life. Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth is what the book of Romans says.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get word every week from Elevate Life Church.